This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. We are red hot and rolling. We are live. It is approximately 9 minutes after the hour on Saturday, August the 7th, 2021. Walter, my good friend, how are we doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing pretty good there, buddy. We're doing pretty good. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Some jackass behind me is either blasting some violin music or he's playing violin to panhandle at 10 o'clock at night. But anyways, hopefully somebody pays him money to stop. Anyways, special shout out to our buddy Little Billy Keebler and the boys at the Yonadosis, New York Fire Department. Hopefully they don't have to save too many mobile homes tonight. First order of business, we want to remember those members of the law enforcement community who were murdered in line of duty. Tonight, we first start off, remember, Deputy Sheriff Brandon Shirley of the Jefferson County, Kentucky Sheriff's Office, end of watch, August 5th, 2021. His killer is at large. Also, we want to remember Police Officer Brian Pierce Jr. of the Brooklyn, Illinois Police Department, end of watch, August 4th, 2021. His killer is still at large. Also, we want to remember Police Officer George Gonzalez of the United States Department of Defense, Pentagon Force Protection Agency, end of watch, August 3rd, 2021. Real quick about this crime. This took place 4.4 miles from the U.S. Capitol. And the media was talking about and praising Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn for his bravery, having to put up with being called racial epithets. Meanwhile, this outstanding officer, George Gonzalez, of the Pentagon Police, was actually more or less slashed. His neck was slashed. He was stabbed numerous times. He was shot with his own service weapon before the killer took his own life. But that's the time we're living in. You cry because someone calls you racial epithets, and you're seen as a hero. Meanwhile, Officer Gonzalez gets nothing. But anyways, tonight we have a very special guest. Last week, The Political Cesspool had a guest, and it was so nice we decided to have him on twice. He is a retired DEA agent. He is an author of books, including Fighting My Greatest Enemy, Myself. And he is a private detective in the San Diego area. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome Larry Ray Hardin. How are we doing tonight, sir?
Wow, Scoop, thank you very much for that that introduction. But you know what? What you just said about the officers that died, Joe Gonzalez, and the one in Kentucky, it's, you know, throughout my whole career, the one that, and you're asking me, and I just have to start off with this. I just want to jump in here, and you talked about Walter. I'm glad he's there. I'm glad Walter's with us. I look forward to any kind of questions from both of you. You know, with DEA, I am from Kentucky and born in Barstown and raised up in a place called Taterville, Kentucky. And I thank God I'm so blessed at the kind of environment that I raised up. Yeah, we were materialistic poor, you want to say that. And we did have outhouses and we killed our own hogs. And my sisters and brothers, all 10 of us, we lived in a 3-room house. My daddy worked 2 jobs and mama, but we never forgot the importance of God. Yes, God in our lives. And that was so important for me. But I mean, it's a story that's laid out. I'm not here to push books. On you guys, I just wrote a story because I had 2 private investigators that knew something about me, Randy Turkison and Jeff Pierce. Jeff Pierce is no longer here today. And they pushed me to write a book. It's called Path of the Devil. It had nothing to do with the devil. It's just the name of an operation out there in Yuma, Arizona, that the Spanish priests, they call it, in Espanol, they call it Camino Diablo, the path of the devil. And the priests were being robbed as they entered into the United States from Mexico into California to the missionaries. But get back, the officers, yeah, go ahead, ask, go ahead. I love for people to question me, just like I heard so much about Walter. I can't help it. Some of the things I read about him, the stories, I can't help it. It's just the kind of guy I like to work with, because I believe in that. You just got to get out there and you got to take care of the problem when it jumps in front of you. But once again, I get so upset and anger inside of me, not emotionally, but I start seeing something taking place. Actually, I seen it several years ago when I went out to Yuma, Arizona, and started working a case where I developed so much corruption. You know, you mentioned police officers are killing line of duty. I have seen bad, crooked police officers at the port of entries. We're not talking about the years I spent in Mexico or down in Colombia, which is it's a way of life. But up here, I mean, it's just trying to get them identified, and the things that were happening, and which I could not go after because they were protected, more or less. But I think what kept me going in my faith and not crossing that dark side is that I keep thinking about Mama. I keep thinking about, because Mama always prayed as a kid growing up, and I was the oldest. I did all the fighting. Anybody, Dad said, you better make sure no one mistreats your brothers and sisters. If you do, when you get home, I'll whip you, which he did. And I explained that in The Path of the Devil, foundation of my life. And but, you know, I never knew I was poor growing up. I was Larry Ray Harden and my family. And I love it because I'm getting up there in age, and like everybody else out there, I love, most of these people love this country. I love it passionately. I worked outside this country, and I've seen people that look at the United States, our home, and they love to come here and be part of this. And they just wait for the opportunity to go through the process of coming into our country and be part of this, of the United States of America. But what's killing us today, which I've seen many years ago, and Walter have too, and you too, Scoop, that we've seen a change. It was coming. When the judicial system, the scales of justice, that blindfolds to protect all of us, then it start tilting the other way. It became money. Money, money, money to buy this, and corruption takes this. And I got tired of putting the poor in jail. I'm a drug enforcement agent. My job is go after the highest criminal organization. But these guys were protected by lawyers, graduated from Harvard, graduated from who knows where. And they had the best because they had the money. And all we were doing is putting the people more or less on the bottom of the scale that couldn't afford a good lawyer. They had to rely on a public defender. Those are the ones usually that we put in jail. But like I was talking to you about so much is that I've seen people love this country and they fought for this country. I've been to Europe. I talked to the military. And don't let the news media tell you. Don't trust the news media. I would not trust the politics out there. I hear some Larry, music out there. Am I supposed to shut up?
Yeah, Larry, we're coming to our first break. Folks, this is okay. Larry Ray Hart, and we're just getting warmed up. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio on the Liberty News Network. Take away, boys.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Our guest tonight is Larry Ray Hardin. Check him out, LarryRayHardin.com. Retired Drug Enforcement Administration agent, and the first break, he jumped a whole bunch of different topics. Larry, where do you want to go? What do you want to talk about now?
Because the floor is yours. Let me mention real quick. If I hope I don't say this in a wrong way, but James Edwards, he reached out for me last week. You mentioned political cesspool. I tell you what, that is a kind man, and what he'd done to me completely threw me off. When his daughter came on and just said hi, and I'm right into the thick of it, of talking about some of the things my eyes have witnessed in this life with children, outside this country, inside this country, but his daughter's voice was like it was just like an angel from heaven. Then he tells me later on about his daddy in the hospital, and his daddy was listening to the program. I felt like, you know, maybe I should continue this, and then you reach out and. And I've been telling my friend out here, he's incredible. He won't let me mention his name, but I hope someday that I can. But he thinks the world of you guys. And when he looked at that third book for me, he knew I was onto something. That third book is called Home is Never the Same. It's about growing up in the hollers and the creeks there. And what I just talked about. And I'm very fortunate that I had, this lady out here, Diane DeMille. She jumped in and supported all three of us on this first book. And I tell you what, it's been a ride. But where I want to go is that move on to the war on drugs. I've got to tell you, everyone out there, and you guys know this, we might be drug agents, narcs or whatever, DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration, but most of the crime that's been committed in this country, there is drugs that's involved, whether it's alcohol, fentanyl, or whether it's heroin or whatever, methamphetamine. There's always something that's going on with a human being's life, okay? And he's involved in that kind of crime, hurting children or hurting women, raping women or whatever. You're going to find out there's a terrible, evil presence in his life, and it truly is. And the only way you can get back into life is get that grace of God. You have to experience it, and you realize, wow, that there is no war on drugs. And there is not. I tell you what, guys, when I got to Yuma, I started hearing about these brothers started bragging how they tried to kill two DEA agents. Don Ware and Roy Stevenson, outstanding. I'm telling you, those kind of agents. But they survived, but Don eventually died of those wounds in DEA. But when I got out there, the informants, which are called informants, they started talking to me right away, okay, about what's going on, about how these brothers said they'll never, next time when it happens, they will kill them. Well, these brothers walked away because they bragged they will never be arrested. Well, not with me, okay, because those were my brothers. And so I stayed focused on that investigation for over 5 years. I developed two confidential informants that I never told anybody about except certain people in DEA because of the corruption that was involved. And truly, it was corruption. But I tell you what, the case took a turn when the Chinese, yes, Chinese, you know, I mean, I'm a smart guy. When they start popping up down in south, across the border down in Mexico and helping the bad guys to move shrimp into the United States, that just doesn't work because the Chinese got Long Beach. They can do everything the right way. But instead, they were moving into El Gulf of Mexico, and they were using these members of the cartel here to help to bring the shrimp across. And the shrimp was definitely involved smuggling narcotics in those tails, the tiger shrimp. So I was moving forward. I had the AUSAs. I fit some hard battles. Nobody did not want to prosecute the brothers, but I was determined to do it. I was determined to, yes. And during that time, I had two of my friends, Danny Elkins and Mike Crowell. I hope the whole world know who these guys are because they were killed. They were killed in the line of duty by a corrupted cop that became addicted to methamphetamine. And he killed both of them. And I lay this out in the book, and when I teach criminal justice to the students, I sit there and I talk to each one of them, okay? This is what happens. This is how they were killed. Even in Colombia, an agent, Frank Marino, took a round in the chest, and that it killed him right away. He knew he was shot, but it clipped his aorta. And that same round came out of Frank's back and hit another kid that was standing behind him. He eventually died the next day. He bled out. I stayed with Frank and another agent. We stayed for Frank for 3 days while the whole office was out looking for the shooter. DEA spend millions of dollars, okay, everything they can, Department of Justice, and the shooter was running. He wasn't running. He was running because he thought DEA was going to kill him. But that's not true, okay? We're not as bad as most people think we are. But he thought so, and he turned himself in. He tried to, but he kept calling back to the United States because he has family in the United States. What I'm trying to tell you is that these people across the border that are up here now in this country, they will kill you. They will kill you quick, okay? These people out here, Antifa, Black Lives Matters, I don't care what projects or what ghetto, where they're from, they have no idea when this is going to come down. And when it does, it's going to be a slaughter. That truly is. Because if they think they're bad going out there and killing innocent lives and killing cops and police officers and hurting other people, they don't know. I'm not a bad guy. And Walter, some of the things, we're not bad people. We love this country. You know, Walter, I tell you what, I cry my eyes out. I love this country so much. But I tell you what, it's evil. And we need to stop this. We need to finish it because this is getting out of control. We, the people. And that beautiful, I've been listening to your commercials there. And I tell you what, it's beautiful. You know, I mean, it's right on the market by God, who he is, our founding fathers. You know, a lot of times, man, you guys don't jump in. I'm just going to just continue to talk because I'm telling you, there's so much in my life. And, I got some good stuff. I mean, we all got good stories. I mean, and they're true. But when I start teaching criminal justice, they don't know anything about history. They don't know about our founding fathers. They don't know anything about the Civil War, how evil and how bad and how dirty it was. Both sides of killing, destroying things, you know. And like I mentioned, I was getting ready to tell the political cesspool last week. I'll give you an example real quick. And I don't want to jump too far ahead. I want to get back to these books, but I never forget. I'm teaching organized crime. Organized crime, okay? And the two students, I mean, I had a lot of students. They're in their third year of college. They asked me, Mr. Hardin, aren't you from Kentucky? Yes. Well, what do you think about the Confederate flag? Okay? And I said, I knew where they were going because they had that real bad shooting out there. I believe South Carolina, some kid walked into a church and he killed a lot of innocent people. Well, anyway, they said, what do you think about the Confederate flag? Do you consider it's organized criminal, crime? Well, you know what? I don't try to get emotion, because when I do get emotion, it's my spirit. It stirs my soul. And I sit down and I looked at those two students and the rest of the students. I said, guys, let me tell you something right now at this very moment. Do you know what happened in the Civil War? Have you been to Gettysburg? Have you seen the last, when they took the Cemetery Ridge, or seen whatever? No. I said, do you know what caused the war? No. I said, okay, guys, 1863, I'm not going to go. We don't have time. But let me tell you something right now. I'm from a place called Taylorsville, Kentucky, okay? Barstown, Nelson County, Spencer County. If it was 1861, if I'm standing there and I'm looking around, I probably today in 1861, two things I'll probably be doing, and this is the truth. I'll be a Confederate soldier, okay, because I follow my family, my brothers that I grew up with, cutting backer in the fields, shucking corn, going to church, okay? I'll probably follow them. Is slavery is wrong? You damn right is wrong. My mama took me to a block there. It was a slave block, and I had a hard time comprehending that, okay? How can you do something like that? But I told them. I told each one of them, I'll be a Confederate, or I'll be out there trying to steal a pig or a hog, okay, so I can eat that son of a gun, all right? And they all looked at me. But that's who I am, and that's what I am. I tell it like it is. I can't, in the classroom, I can't talk about God, but amen, I point my finger to heaven. And I talk about the first murder investigation, the two brothers, when one brother picked up a rock and killed his other brother.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
COVID cases in the U.S. continue to rise, with new daily infections averaging more than 100,000. According to new data, the seven-day average of new cases is just over 107,000, a level not seen since the surge over the winter. Hospitalizations and deaths are also on the rise, with more than 40,000 currently hospitalized, according to the CDC. Deaths are averaging about 500 a day as of Friday, up from about 270 just 2 weeks ago. Health officials say the surge could continue if more people are not vaccinated. Just over 50% of Americans are now fully vaccinated, with more than 70% having received at least one dose. And the bipartisan infrastructure bill has passed a key hurdle in the Senate, clearing the way for a final vote. The chamber voted 67-27 Saturday to invoke cloture, ending debate on the $1.2 trillion spending package, allowing for a final vote Monday or sooner. This is USA Radio News.
Here's the message Fox News doesn't want you to hear.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm coming to you with the most important commercial that I've ever done. All of you know what MyPillow and myself have gone through in the last 5 months in my efforts to bring the truth forward. Well, it's all come down to this. I'm having a cyber symposium on August 10th, 11th, and 12th. This historical event will be live streamed 72 hours straight on my new platform, frankspeech.com. You can help by getting everybody you know to go to frankspeech.com now. To help support this cyber symposium event, I am offering some of the best prices ever on my pillow products, but they're only offered at frankspeech.com. Thank you and God bless.
When you go to frankspeech.com, use the promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
The mayor of McAllen, Texas, has ordered the creation of a tent city to deal with an influx of COVID-positive migrants that have been released in the city. Mayor Javier Villalobos said Friday that the charities that have been helping migrants released in McAllen cannot handle the numbers anymore and asked the Biden administration for more help. National Border Patrol Council spokesman Chris Carrera says it's unfortunate that the mayor had to make that move. He tells Fox News that the situation should not have been allowed to get so bad.
You know, it's very concerning, and we're thankful that Mayor Villalobos is doing what he's doing. It's unfortunate the last mayor of McAllen just kind of turned a blind eye to it, as well as the county administration. They were constantly saying there was no crisis down here, there was no state of emergency, and only when the news broke the story of COVID-positive people that were released from custody are roaming around the towns and potentially infecting our citizens, that's when people started to wake up.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. During the commercials, you heard Mike Lindell from MyPillow. Here's a very interesting fact. MyPillow does not advertise on Fox News anymore. That's right. No more MyPillow on Fox News. However, Ms. Lindell still sponsors Liberty News Radio. But anyways, we're on the horn with Larry Ray Harden, who's just been going gangbusters. Well, you have any questions for our guest?
Hey buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Thank you. You have quite the story that you've explained briefly in like 15 or 20 minutes of live air, which takes quite a bit of direct. Now your journey from the time that you became a DEA agent. And the time that you finally retired, like you said, you know, our eyes have seen a lot of things. I mean, you know, there's soldiers of war that fought, in, you know, across overseas and stuff, and they see some horrible things. Now,
right.
You know, we're talking about things that happen in our world, our country, with civilians, so-called civilians. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, you mentioned the BLM and the Antifa and all these anti-American type of organizations. Now, it goes deeper than that. It goes to the single person who, like you said, doesn't have an ideal with the L on the end. Some people say idea. It didn't have an idea. No, it didn't have any ideal. And that meaning that he holds nothing sacred. You know, he'll put a cap in your ass just for looking at him wrong. He'll pop you off just to show off to his friends.
That's right.
You know, if you have a car accident and you're unconscious in your car, they're trying to get the watch off of you and your wedding ring off of you and digging for your wallet. And, you know, a lot of white bread America, as I call it, just is not aware that stuff like this actually happens. You know, you can't make this stuff up. Hollywood gets their ideas from real life. And then they embellish the nonsense in it.
I
had quite a short and colorful career, and you know, ended up in prison. And I'm going to be talking about that. I have a documentary coming out next spring, and this documentary is going to be solely based on Walter. You know, I'll mention a couple of other people here and there, but it's going to be how and why and what became of me. Because, you know, a lot of people run into me and they say, oh, you're that crooked cop from New York, you know, from that 7-5. And they don't want nothing to do with me. And that's okay. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But they don't understand the growth.
That's
right. From where you once were.
Right.
Because, you know, you can see certain things on the street and just hate the world.
That's right.
How could the world be so horrible, so mean to do these things?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Nobody realizes that, you know, sometimes it's shell shock. You know, I made a lot of bad decisions in my time, and I think I'm now stronger for it than I was when I was making those decisions, because I thought I had the world by the onions, and I was going to peel them as I saw fit. But with what I've read about you, your inspiration, and speaking with the criminal justice students and such like that, that's criminal justice is my favorite subject in the entire universe. And it takes people like you and me and Scoop and a couple of other people that really feel for what they did, what they saw, and what they've tried to fix. It takes those kinds of people to enlighten the current generation on what the hell is actually going on out there. And you put it in just a few words. There is no more drug war. There is no.
There never was. It's a political game. It truly is.
The drug war that I was fighting back in the 80s, we were losing. And my friend Michael Dowd says it so well in the documentary of the 7-5, saying, you know, you thought you were doing something, and you really weren't. And then you took matters into your own hands.
That's
and, you know, you take one drug dealer off the street, however you took him off the street, was a victory. It was a victory. You know, I'm not making my claim to fame where I was a vigilante and I was doing this for the good of the world. But, you know, you mentioned the innocent people that live in the bad neighborhoods. Yeah. You know, if the cops' hands are tied and the drug dealers are dealing on the streets and selling it to, you know, your kids, my grandkids, you know, it there's no way that they can look at you and respect you. And now, these days, with cops getting screamed at all the time, I mean, you know,
I know.
We wouldn't stand for that 30 years ago. Neither would the general public. But now, the way law enforcement needs to be taught, it needs to be taught the realities of what's going on or not going on. There is no drug war. There is no fight to put people in jail. It just doesn't exist. It's rampant. I really appreciate people like you that come out and say it like it is. Occasionally, I get opportunity to speak in front of cops and college students when I'm invited. And, you know, I tell them my story, and I try to get feedback from them, and some of them really don't know. An hour and 40 minutes of the documentary that I was in, you know, it's not going to enlighten everybody. It's just going to make people just roll their eyes and just say, oh, it's a bunch of dirty cops. But like I said, my documentary will be out next spring, and I'm going to be explaining a few things. And I'm going to touch on some of the journeys that I've gone through, and that you've expressed in book and in print. And I really appreciate you very much, my friend.
Well, you know what? This is it's an honor, because I know something about you now, even before you started talking to me. And I don't know where this is going to go for me. I don't know what kind of journey I'm on with this. It started with political cesspool. But, you know, there's something that's going on. And like these kind of shows that we're doing, you guys are doing, and the people that I'm talking to, they're out there. And you know that, Walter. There's a lot of people like us out there. And they're good citizens, they're good people, they want to live by the law, the rules, but on the streets now, there's only one law out there. It's very gray out there, and the cops are getting hurt, they're getting killed, they've been assassinated. We call it sicarios. When I was down in Colombia, I worked with some great cops down there, but these cops, they learned the hard way down in Colombia. These cops will kill you first, because they got tired of cops being killed left and right, okay? And so I had a chance to work with them. And I learned so much about, you know, when to shoot and not to shoot, and so on. And that's why students always ask me in the classroom, hey, Mr. Harden, you know, what was the biggest thing? Have you ever killed anybody? And I hate that. And I looked at them, I said, first, I never gave them a chance to do that. Okay? You really mean business. You mean it. When you approach them or when they approach you, something just got to take over inside, and you got to react to it. And they come back and say, well, Mr. Harden, what is the biggest, most dangerous job that you ever encounter, you know, working that kind of crime? And I tell them, I said, guys, each one of you, and there's women in the classroom too, and I said, was being faithful to my wife. And I said, that was my biggest challenge in life. It's been faithful, because the women are beautiful, and they're aggressive, and yippee-yi-yo, man. But faithful in my, because I made a promise to God. When I got married, something, I looked towards that ceiling, and I made a promise to him. I can break that promise anytime I want to the American people, to anybody, even to my wife. But you make that promise to God, And I tell you what, that second book, people said, my gosh, come on, did you really, Larry Ray, did you see? Yes, I know now what hell is, because I was there. I was there. It sounds crazy, but I was there. I was burning. It wasn't my body. I realized it was my spirit or soul. It was burning me alive. And later on in life, I met Jesus Christ. Now, did I see his face? No. But when I looked up to see this man that's been tortured, yeah, he was tortured. Okay? When I looked up slowly, now you're talking to a guy that done a lot of crazy things in my life, Walter. Okay? Mm-hmm. I went after some bad guys, and we both have, but man, when I want to know who this guy was. And when I looked up and saw, tried to see his face, it was pure light. it was broader than that sun, and I fell down to the ground. But it was a gentle light, and it was a gentle voice. And this is me, Larry Ray Harden. I thank God. I wish all the bad guys out there, whoever you are, what group you're in, you need to experience Jesus Christ. I'm not here to preach to anybody. Just look. He's right there, man. Whether you're out there on the streets, working with prostitutes, the homeless, and they were my best client. They were my best informants, man. I love the streets. 24 years, Walter, I worked the streets.
Yeah.
It was my office, okay? And I loved it, man.
Hey, we got one more break coming up. This is 75 Radio on Living News Radio Network. Check us out at 75radio.org. 75radio.org.
That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that I could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. Walter Yurkow. Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
We are back with Larry Ray Harden. Check him out, LarryRayHarden.com, LarryRayHarden.com. Buy his books. But anyways, Larry, we just scratched the subject that there's no war on drugs. Who is not letting us win the war on drugs?
United States of America, our politicians. It's not the we the people. We could finish this war, Walter. When I got into Colombia, I went up to what they call the bubble. Can't get into details, and I'm telling you, man, this guy working for this other agency, he showed me photographs, and this is several years ago. They're showing where everything is, the labs and everything. And I thought, well, hell, we can finish this thing now. Just going to get rid of it. But there was a political between Columbia and our politicians back in the White House, back in our administration. Just like the Mexico border. Okay, let me tell you something. What the Clemens were doing, for example, let me give you an idea. Let's use 100 kilos of cocaine. At that time, processed out there in the labs, while they're pissed, pardon my language, urinating on the chemicals, while they're making and squeezing it, they were around about $450, U.S. dollars. And the Mexicans finally caught on. Okay, when I say Mexican, I spend a lot of time down there. It's the two classes of people. The very poor are beautiful, but then you get the very wealthy. And most of them, they got wealthy because of things they had to do. But I tell you what, they got wise about the kilo. So they're moving 100 kilos up to the Mexican border, to the United States border, all the way across from Texas up to California. I know I'm in Colombia, I'm seeing this. They talked about the informants. Okay? They're turning around, the Mexicans say, no. We'll give you protection if you give us the 50 kilos. Okay? And so they do. They make a deal. They turn around, take the 50 kilos, and they've started adding things to it. In other words, stepping on it, mixing it up. You know what I'm talking about, Walter, and narcotics on the streets. And that's how they got across. How they got across is corruption at the port of entries. There are some awesome, beautiful people that are in the Border Patrol, immigration, but it always takes one or two to get that 500 kilos across. In this first book, I bought a kilo sample. I got it really cheap. For $14,500, we negotiated for $30 up to $500. All I want to do, I wanted to identify that relative, that niece that's working for the United States at the port of entry, okay? And I got no hearsay. I can't write books on hearsay. You guys, I'm telling you, Walter, you know that, and you both know that. When I write books, I write with facts. That's why I always wrote my reports that way. I can't put you in jail on hearsay. But let me tell you something. There's so much to cover here, and I want to have to tell you this. Those little girls, I have to throw this out here, those beautiful little kids that are coming into this United States America, they've been used. They've been sucker punched, okay? Whether you call it the Catholic religion or you call it church organizations, they're coming up here, and they've been sponsored to come in this country. Those little girls are not little girls anymore, okay? Those little girls, once they drop blood, if they have a chance to drop blood, okay, it was over with for them, okay? No, I mean, I'm telling you, man, you know what? We think it's bad down in Mexico or throughout the third world countries. It's bad here in our country. It's probably even worse here when it comes to what's happening to children today. The women, beautiful women, great women, hardworking women that I met down across South America, I asked them, said, why are you carrying Vaseline with you? Okay? A lot of times we catch them, they're carrying a picture of Mother Mary. Okay? Depends what culture, what country. It is 99% Catholic. So it's always about Mother Mary, and they carry it for assassin when they kill someone to pray on it, you know, or when they kill a cop because he's a bad cop or he's a whatever, but or they hurt your family. But the women carry Vaseline because they rub it on themselves, down below the waistband, okay, because they know that's the way of life. In the United States, up here they call it rape. If you look at a woman and say, wow, you're an attractive woman, down there it's a way of life. They're struggling. The women are strong people, okay? And they really are. I met them. They're hardworking in our countries south of the border. But let me tell you something. It is sad. And I wrote that in the book. Okay? The truth of the books, whether I sell one or two, you know what? All I want to do is for someone that don't make a movie out of it. You know, but don't play with the words. Don't play with it. Tell the truth. Sir McConnell is in that book. Okay? He's a son of a gun. Okay? My family knows him. He's a nice guy. But let me tell you something. When it comes to politics, oh, no. No, he should have been voted out a long time ago. He got elected because our president, Donald Trump, whether you like it or not. Okay, that first book, you got me on a roll now, okay, because I only got a short time here. But that path of the devil, I want to send it to the president of the United States 2.5 years ago, and I did, because I want to show how bad it is in America, okay? Child pornography, you name it. And you know what? I was in Rota. I was in Spain. I'm teaching criminal justice. And someone said, you need to get over to the post office. You've got an official letter from the White House. Okay? Scoop, when I got hold of that, I opened up, and it was from our President Donald Trump. Okay? Is he a perfect human being? No. Is Walter perfect? Am I perfect? No. Okay? But I tell you what, he took time. Did he read the book? No. But someone read that book, and they took it to him, and they said, you better write this boy a letter. Well, they probably didn't call me boy. I don't care if they did or not. He wrote me a letter. And he is a great man. Does he love this country? Yes, he does. And what he was doing for Border Patrol at the Port of Entries out there, oh, yeah, you can count on him. People outside of this country, I met our military, and they love this guy. They love this president of the United States, Trump, okay? Because I was there when Benghazi went down, okay? I mean, we didn't know it was Benghazi, but we've seen everything that was taking place. I tell you what, when the president of the United States, Donald Trump, got involved, and this is a fact, he stopped all that. Boy, he put the warning out there. And that's why he had a lot of Marines over there. These young kids with hair standing on top of their head, okay? These young kids that are going to spill the blood for us, okay? These cops that are out there losing their life, okay? I mean, they're spilling the blood. We the people. I love that. That's the Constitution. That's our fathers that came together, and most of them believed in God. So, but the war on drugs, no. I had to learn the hard way. When I seen Frank Marino land there, okay, when I walked in and see him land there and blood all over him, okay, and we opened up his shirt to see where the wound, it was like a little pimple there, like a pimple. And I thought someone capped him in the back of the head, but it didn't. But Frank, what did he die for? What did he die for? Richie Foss, I don't get any carried away, guys, but Richie Foss was another great agent, DEA agent. He was getting ready to be transferred. The day he died, I went to the funeral. I don't like going to a cop funeral. I truly don't. I don't like the bagpipes. I love them. But they're so sad, and the gun's going off. These are people, whether you're a med, I don't care who you are, they love this country, and they believed in what they were doing. But it took me years later when I'd seen what happened with this case, how it went downhill, when another cop walked into the office, the county attorney's office, and threatened him. And the FBI, when the FBI gets involved, and they wouldn't let me participate because I want to go after this corrupted cop, because he told the county prosecutors that they better not take this case. It's all true, guys, because I tell you what, these two PIs, towards the end, I trust them with my life. Okay, Jeff is dead. He's gone. Okay, all these informants of mine, they're gone. For some reason, I'm still here, and God only knows that. Okay? And I tell you what, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I'm getting up there in age or whatever, but I just want to get it out there and try to tell everybody. You've got to understand one thing. If you don't have, I'm telling you, I'm not preaching, Walter, you too, Scoop. I learned the hard way. If you don't get your act together, man, it is going to be a terrible place where you're going to go. And it's true. Through the grace of God, I was very fortunate. Walter, you went to prison, man. My gosh, you were a cop, your background, everything. It's incredible that you went to prison. And you know what? What you've been through. And now you've got this movie coming out. This is incredible how your life. Your life has been planted, brother, whether you like it or not. Okay? There's a purpose for all of us. Is it a purpose for a little girl standing there on the streets of South America? And she's got this little rubber thing in her hand, so she's standing there washing the windshield. She's probably about 3-4 years old. Okay? And she's standing there. She's a street kid. Where's God in that? Where's God when Frank? But that little girl, not too long after, though, she's back in a corner in the daytime, and she's got this guy's peckerhead, pardon my language, his penis. She's got his penis in her mouth. Okay, I hope I don't cut me off on this air, but I want to tell you, man, and she's just sucking away on it, right? She has no idea why she's sucking on. Okay, no idea. But where is God? But I tell you something, where is the devil? He's right here. He's right here, man. He's right there in that man that put that his thing in that little girl's mouth. That little girl has got something that's going to be better than it if she's still alive today. I don't know. But hell, no. So I don't want to get carried away with you guys. I just want to tell you, I know we're running out of time. Thank you. Thank you both, okay, for having me on. I tell you what, like I said, it haunts me a little bit what James did with his daughter, beautiful little girl. What kind of life is she going to see, brother, if we don't put a stop to this as we the people? What are these little girls and little boys? What's happened? It all came out. We know what's been going on. Well, you guys are former cops. You know what's going on out there. I've seen it with my own eyes. But, man, when I started seeing how corrupted, you know, the Department of Justice, especially today, no one cannot tell me, man. It's not, people say, well, it's conspiracy. It's not conspiracy. Walter, Larry, you deal in facts. Larry, Scoop, you deal in facts. Okay.
Right. But, Larry, unfortunately, we've run out of time. We'll have to have you on about another dozen times to finish everything you need to finish. But check him out at LarryRayHardin.com, LarryRayHardin.com. It's been a pleasure. And then for Walter Yerkew, this is Peter Scoop State. Remind everybody, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. So long, everybody. Be safe out there.
Amen.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.